B-Pod Studios.
We'll take your calls on anything. Call us here for sports. Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zorak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
O'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. Yesterday, good day at the Garden. We're still talking about that. Jason Tatum elevating his team, beating Kyrie and the Nets. The chant for Kyrie sucks at the end. That obviously didn't sit well with Jason Tatum. Telling the crowd to quiet down. Shh, don't do that.
Stop doing that.
Be nice to my friend.
Don't be Bush League.
Be nice to my friend. That's my friend over there, guys. I don't think Celtics fans feel like he's a friend. So that's still in the mix. That's still something we're talking about today. Also, something we do need to get to, and that is the latest with Major League Baseball. There has been more reporting, even at this hour, at the state of negotiations. And I got to say, Zoe, it is painting a pretty negative picture of where this negotiation is going between players and their owners.
But he got an hour and a half meeting, hour and 40 yesterday. It's just like you're just doing it for attention, it seems, at this point. Just to make sure that, hey, people understand, we're all very concerned on both sides still.
Are one you? Side was willing to meet today. Once
What's
again,
that?
One side was willing to meet today.
Oh, that's
the
nice.
MLBPA.
Yeah. Doesn't mean anything's going to get done.
No. And so it
doesn't mean they're going to budge.
At some point, you've got to separate the who wants to meet, who's saying the right things. This is what it comes down to, and it has been the issue. And that is the luxury tax threshold, the biggest issue, the money. Owners, as we said last week, want it to be 220, and then they want to go up in a few years. Players want to start at 238. It's a big gap. If you do some of the math, you do sort of the average, they're anywhere between, you know, $22, $24 million apart annually on where they want this thing to land. You imagine that's all it is. That's the gap that they are refusing to sort of to bridge. And I would say, why can't baseball do what other sports have done? Why can't they decide how much money will be spent on players based on the revenues the previous year, the way the NFL does it, the way the NBA does it? Yep. Why can they not do that?
It's mind-boggling.
Why are they incapable of that?
And when you start throwing that type of number around to the layperson, to just your average Joe average fan, this is what really pisses you off about the people involved in that sport. That's what's preventing your entire league from even operating or coming together or even having a spring training. It makes it that much more asinine. Like, that's a number you think, okay, multi-billion-dollar sport, right? They make money every year. You know, your best players are at 30, 35, 40 million. And you can't bridge that gap. You're halting your sport up because of that gap. Yeah. I'm blaming people for getting pissed off. So you're going to start to get angry here, I think, what, another 2 or 3 weeks. And people are pissed off already, but I'm talking really pissed off to where, oh, here we go, we're meeting again. We need to talk about it because it's in the news. And they met for another hour and a half. That's nice. What'd you get accomplished? Nothing. But they're still meeting. So that's good. It's ridiculous.
Well, here's what they did agree to, by the way. This happened yesterday. Players and owners agreed to ban shifts, mm-hmm. implement a pitch clock, and make the bases bigger in 2023.
This bases bigger thing is just, it's of all the ones in there, like pitch clock, good. Pitch shift, I get it. The bigger bases. That's really something you're really bargaining and pushing for. That's something that may hold you up. But the other two I get. I don't get the bigger bases one.
It's the players, once again, making concessions for the owners here. And these are the things they threw in the 11th
hour. How does that help the owners?
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
Why is the bigger bases a concession for owners?
Right.
Why is the pitch clock a concession to owners? Like, that's not even something that should be a major issue.
Right.
These are issues they want on field. This is just something the owners have pushed, and I think something you can hold the players on over at least the last 10 years, but really history. They haven't wanted to change the on-field product. That is something the league is pushing forward here, but the MLBPA was willing to talk about this the entire time. It was the owners who threw this in the 11th hour when they were down in Jupiter and doing all this. Here we go. The MLBPA made the concession after they tried to throw it in there and sneak it by them, basically calling them stupid. They said, okay, you know what? We'll work with you. We'll give you your 45-day window for it so you can have it in 2023.
But in terms of changing the rules or how the game itself is played, my thought on that should be that owners and the commissioner's office, and if they do, what are you going on?
Yeah, right?
They should have more input than players. But the players never look out for the sport. They don't care about the product. They care about themselves.
Right.
They want comfort when it comes to the game.
Right. And I don't care about their comfort. And I'm, by the way, firmly in their camp in this fight against owners. So I'm not someone who's anti-player. In fact, in this argument, I am pro-player. I believe the players' fight against owners right now on the money is justified. They're not getting enough of it. Owners have taken money away from them. They deserve more than what it is they are getting. Owners are cheating the players. The owners are gobbling up too much of the pie. So what I would say is, though, owners should be able to tell the guys, listen, if we agree on your money and what you get paid, we're going to tell you how the game is played, and you play it. We're still the employer. It's not a full partnership. You deserve to get paid what is fair. But at the end of the day, if the rules of the game changed, that's not like it's completely changing your job.
And I think
we're making rule changes. Tough bleep.
And every other league has done it. And I think, you know, Maz has kind of made some of this point as well. What has Major League Baseball done to at least appease to the fans in recent years in terms of giving them something on the field, trying to listen to what people are complaining about? This is a way to do that.
Do you want the bigger bases?
I don't care for it.
There you go.
Why?
That's my point.
Who cares?
That's my point.
It's going from
why is that even an issue?
It's going from 15 to 18 inches. I mean, are we really talking about a massive difference?
More stolen bases.
No, but are we talking?
No, but I know the net. How does that?
Are we talking about something that fundamentally changes the sport? No, we're not.
And it didn't have a big impact when it was tried out in the minor leagues last year. It wasn't seen as a significant impact.
You already said that. Yeah.
Let's give it a try. It's not a big deal. It really isn't. And they also are talking about making the edges of the bases easier to grab. Is that so, like, when you have a runner who slides in a second, he's not sliding off the bag, he can actually grab the bag.
They should have handles.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Knobs. Joysticks.
Okay, not a big deal. Pitch clock.
Rope.
Just straps.
Or rope.
Pitch clock in 2023. It's going to happen that soon. It should have happened 5 years ago, but Manfred has no balls. So
I want to hear how you're going to enforce that, too.
So it'd be 14 seconds with no one on base and 19 seconds with someone on base.
All right. Take that. No problem.
How's David Price going to work with that?
Don't care. Get used to it. Get moving. And T-Bone, we've already told you what it is.
Oh, but
if the pitch is not thrown, then there is an automatic ball that you just acquired.
Okay. Well, why don't they say that?
That's a good question. Have it more definitive.
Okay.
Right. No, he's right.
That's how it's been operated at the minor league. So I think that's the assumption.
I think it's assumed, but if you need it spelled out for you, call.
I think people like it,
please do.
Call Rob Manfred if you care.
You can throw that with the shift, though. We don't know how they're going to kind of alter the shift here. They haven't really defined that. They don't know if it's going to be you just can't have someone touching the outfield grass, or if it's going to be two people on each side of the bag.
It's going to be side of the bag.
Side of the bag. That's the only way you are. You police that thing. Side of the bag.
When they tried it out in the minor,
side of the bag.
Yeah. So when they tried that out at the minor league level last year, there was very little to no impact when they had two guys on each side of the bag because you could kind of lean just to the left or to the right. The big difference was, or not as significant, but the most difference was when you stop letting players touch the outfield grass.
That gets tricky.
That does get tricky. I think the bag is a good, easy dividing line.
Sure.
Start
there. You can still have your second baseman in right field.
Yep. Exactly. But those to me aren't concessions. Those are, we're changing things for the better, and if you don't like it, that's too bad.
Right.
The thing that you get to argue about, really, at the end of the day, the money. You get to air out the grievance over the money, not over all the other stuff. They're not asking them to work in any sort of unfair working conditions, right? That's not what they're arguing about. Oh, we don't like those rule changes. Well, too bad. And guess what? It's not all about you. Too bad that you don't like the rule changes. We're trying to make a better product. We're trying to do something that will benefit you and us and our fans. To fight back against that is not great. Never been a fan of that. All these whiny players whining about rule changes. Saw it last night. Trevor Bauer was tweeting up a storm about all the problems he had with the idea of the rule changes. 617-779-0985. Adam Schefter clarifying something he had on the Tom Brady retirement. Let's say issue a clarification.
Yeah, and there's also something I want to get to. Like, there's a potential quarterback that people are going to go after and want to pay over $10 million.
Yeah.
You want to get into that a little bit.
Okay, let's get into that too. Want to do both of those things next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He was retiring. I mean, there were other plans. He's doing a movie. He was talked about as a limited owner of the Miami Dolphins. His family was at the decision had been made. He was retiring. And we report, and it's shocking to me sometimes how some of these things take on a life of their own. Like the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, he was being ripped on all year long. They were in the playoffs. They made a deep run. Did he not raise his value in the postseason? I think he did. Don Yee never said anything. In fact, on the Tom Brady thing, to get back to Don Yee, the first contact I had with Don Yee was afterwards when he called. He said, and my wife was in the office. And I haven't talked about this before, but I'm in my office. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was a snowstorm in New York. Wife is sitting there. Don Yee calls, and he's like, why would you not call me in advance? I said, I did call you multiple times, left messages, never heard back from you. Mm-hmm. He said, I have a statement I want to read to you. Now, when he said that, I will say, okay, what do we got here?
Yeah.
Like, what is this statement going to be? Because that statement could be what? It could
you're be sued.
Or it could be like, other people said it's wrong.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter talking about when he reported, along with Jeff Darlington on that Saturday, as we were getting hit with that blizzard, that Tom Brady was retiring. And then he immediately got backlash from Brady's people about him retiring. Have you ever seen something more ridiculous than this?
No.
I'm not talking about Schefter. I'm talking about Brady. So Don Yee, who is longtime agent for Tom Brady, calls Schefter to complain to him that he didn't call him.
But he called him multiple times and left messages?
Schefter says, I did. I called you, which sounds exactly like an agent, right? I mean, I believe Schefter on that. Schefter's like, yeah, I did call you. You didn't call me back.
Yeah, you're trying to create diversity.
Yeah, because people don't call people back when they don't have anything they want to tell them.
Right.
He doesn't want to tell Adam Schefter Tom Brady's retiring, so he's not calling him back.
You don't want to be on record for either yes or no, or I am going to plead the fifth. If you plead the fifth, that means he's retiring. Yeah.
There are people that might pick up the phone and say, listen, I'll talk to you, but you either this conversation never happened, so I did not give you a no comment. And if that's not acceptable, you got to hang up. And so, okay, so who I would say to Don Yee, and I hope Adam Schefter did this. What's your complaint with me again? That Tom Brady's own people are leaking that Tom Brady's retiring, and you're mad at me?
Yeah.
Why don't you call your client, Don? Why don't you call Tom? Because someone close to him obviously knows this.
Yeah.
And leaked it to me. That's how I know.
And the fact
that's on me and Jeff Darlington. Jeff Darlington, the same guy that told everybody Brady's leaving New England and ended up being 100% right.
And was laughed at when he brought up Tampa.
Yeah. and nailed the story because he's obviously tied into Brady and his people in his inner circle.
Yep.
Yeah, well, the inner circle is leaking like a sieve again, and that's my fault. Why, Don? Get out of here with this.
And the fact TB12 Sports actually is just congratulated him and had the whole retirement tweet ready to go, and then it was taken down. It was just like, oh, boy. Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. It was a botched weekend on all sides. I mean, Schefter and Darlington nailed it. I mean, he obviously ended up retiring or stepping away from the game at this time.
I want to read you a statement that says what? Tom will be the only one that says anything about his future. Oh, okay. Well, that's already not true, Don. That's already not true because someone already did say something about his future. Someone who knows him intimately enough to know that he's retiring already told us. So we're good. See ya. Click.
Yeah, I don't understand why the Brady side would be so upset.
Yeah, what are you upset about? You told someone you shouldn't have told. Clearly.
Oh, he wanted to tell everybody in his last documentary of his whatever that thing is called that's put on ESPN. When's that thing coming out, by the way? It's in March, I said, right?
Don't blame me.
April, I think.
April? Jesus, got to wait till April for that? He'll be on a new team by then.
Like you watched any of them to start with. I didn't watch any of them either.
You're right. Just awful timing on that thing, too.
We let Beetle watch and tell us.
Yeah, the first one was good. The rest were bad.
First one was really good. Second and third ones were okay. After that, it wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
You've got something on a quarterback that could make more than $10 million a year.
Yeah, and what awful, awful timing for Jimmy Garoppolo to get hurt. You know, and have to be shelved for 16 weeks with shoulder surgery on his throwing shoulder, by the way. So lack of movement from the Aaron Rodgers front, and he's supposed to make his decision soon. A lot of people think he's just going to stay and remain in Green Bay. I heard Bird even say that this morning. He thinks he may stay in Green Bay. Russ Wilson has stated that he wants to remain in Seattle. He's a Hawk right now, right? Likes it there, wants to stay there. Deshaun Watson's still out there. Tom Brady's still retired. So all this potential movement that you're going to have here with quarterbacks really flipping teams isn't taking place, which has created another expensive secondary market for guys that really you thought were not out of the jobs that they may have once held, but could be a potential to start again. Mitchell Trubisky is supposed to be somewhat hot on a market where 3 to 5 teams could be interested. Denver, Washington, others, potentially Carolina, to where you could want to draft a sort of a developmental guy, meaning it's not a heavy draft, first round draft for quarterbacks. You don't have any blue chips really out there. It's Kenny Pickett and the kid from Liberty. And that's about it. So you potentially want to draft one of these guys, but bring Mitch Trubisky in to be your temporary starter and pay him north of $10 million per year. What's the state of your football team in at that point to where you're looking at Mitch Trubisky, who went to Buffalo and all of a sudden has revived his career because he backed up Josh Allen and was hanging out with Brian Daboll up there and is a better quarterback for that? Boy, you're reaching here. You really are reaching. I mean, that's a sad state that if you're a Denver Bronco fan or one of these fans of these other teams and, hey, we're bringing in Mitch Trubisky and we're going to draft a guy to sit. I mean, this isn't Garoppolo and Trey Lance. It's Mitch Trubisky and another kid. Like, you're a long way away from winning. Or your team's in bad shape if this is the guy you're counting on to bring in. Just shocked that Mitch Trubisky could be, like, one of the top guys that's going to move and sign this offseason here once free agency starts. So, just want to bring that up.
Bad time.
Bad time to be hurt. Bad time to be out of it right now.
Bad time for Jimmy. Is that's the thing that really
terrible timing
out, like,
for Jimmy.
Trubisky. Blows.
He's terrible.
He's so bad.
Dave the Dunk Guy.
Oh.
Is with us.
The
Elvis Dave,
impersonator.
Dave in Connecticut. Hello, Dave.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hi.
Good to see you, Zoe. Watching you, Zoe.
I see you, Dave.
I see you, too.
Hey, buddy.
Come on.
I can't see you, Dave. I'm on TV.
I want to talk about Jason Tatum. Awesome. But I catch myself watching Pritchard on defense. You see this guy? He's just everywhere. He's all around helping everybody on the floor. What do you guys think about that?
A little jackrabbit, right? A lot of energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Kid's a gamer. I mean, he had a hell of a college career. He's came here. He's helped since he's been here.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to turn out to be, but he helps you off your bench.
Hey, you guys know Lou Maloney, right?
Yeah, he does radio here in this town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I met him at the Wolf Den, and I gave him my CD. And so when you say it, when you see him, tell him I said hi.
He's a big Elvis fan.
Your CDs. This Elvis. Is of your Elvis impersonation.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Dave sings the King's Favorites.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, that's the name of this.
Could you give us a little Suspicious Minds?
Yeah.
We can go on together with suspicious minds, and we can fill our dreams on suspicious minds. Oh, there you go.
Caught in the trap.
That almost sounded edited. Like he knew what I was going to ask, and he launched into it. A little too quick.
Also do a little psychic work on the side.
Did T-Bone set that up?
So of an old friend I know. Stop by and say hello.
I would have done it. What's that one song? Slow song. So it's Falling in Love with You.
Oh, Can't Help nice Falling
one.
In Love with
yeah,
You.
Yeah, Can't Fall in Love. That's a nice one.
It's been a long, long time. I'm also an Elvis tribute artist.
He's got a good voice. He just doesn't sound... anything like Elvis. But, I mean, he can sing. It just, does it sound like Elvis?
No.
Does he sound like Elvis?
No.
I think he kind of sounds like Elvis.
It's a sneaky, important characteristic for Elvis impersonators.
If I was Hammond,
you have to sound a little bit like Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, but if I was Hammond in a casino and sing. He had long hair, long dark hair, and had the white outfit on, and he's doing the hip gyrations, and the big guitar around his... Yeah, I could say, hey, let's have some fun here on Saturday night.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like Elvis, though. You're right. The voice is not close to Elvis.
But if I was like as drunk as I was on Saturday, I would think he'd sound like Elvis.
Maybe the phone isn't doing it justice.
Kyle in Vermont on Banning the Shift. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Borrow the CD from Lou.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I had a silly, childish idea for the baseball shift. I remember when we were kids, you know, we'd call out one Mississippi, two Mississippi blitz, or you got one blitz every four downs.
Yes, I did. We used to do that, yeah.
Apple rush, one apple, two apple, three
similar
apple.
Similar with baseball shifts. Like, you know, we get one every inning, or you get one if one a pitcher, or, you know. That way you're not eliminating the shift altogether. It's part of the game now. It's strategy, but it's kind of taking over.
Learn to hit the ball the other way. That's what I say. Shift all you want.
I think that's sort of oversimplifying it.
What?
To learn to hit the other way. I think we've reached the point where we understand that the guys are not going to go the other way. The guys sometimes can't go the other way. I think pitching has changed to the degree, and obviously we'll see what happens over a larger sample without the spider tack. There are guys throwing sliders now that you can't turn around the other way. Like, there's just, it's, things have changed a little bit in the sport. So I don't know that you could always drop a bunt down. That's always the way to beat it.
Sure.
And if you want to advocate for more bunts in baseball, go nuts, but I'm not joining you on that. Like, I hear that one all the time. Drop a bunt down.
Yeah, well, lay it down the other line.
Like, oh, we got to drop bunts now?
Yeah, and beat
the
throw out.
That's the action we're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we need in the baseball. More bunts.
Beat that throw out. Let's see the replay. Does his foot hit the bag before it goes into the glove of the first baseman? Yeah.
What?
When you lay the bunt down, does he beat the throw to first base out? The bunt.
Then they got to review it for 15 minutes. Yeah. And
then it goes to review. Does his foot hit the bag before you hear it?
Well, the bag's going to be bigger, so it'll be easier for them to tell.
Oh, that's true. 3 inches bigger. 15 to 18. Good times. Good times.
Those bases, they're growers, not showers.
Good times, Tyler.
All right, to the headlines here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
To put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Solak and Bertrand.
And Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. Got quite the care package today, by the way, from PetezPop.com. Petez Pop. P-E-T-E-Z Pop.com. That's where you go.
Mountain Dew Pitch
Snacks
Black.
And soda. They sell all the crazy stuff that Jackson Mahomes didn't want to promote on his Instagram feed.
We'll promote it.
So there you go. Check them out. PetezPops.com. Petey himself, the soda god, sent over all kinds of stuff. I sent Fowler a photo.
You don't drink Mountain Dew.
No, I don't. I'm not taking that.
Fowler, where's it at?
Yeah. Come on, Fowler. You want to program the show with all your little cereal things.
Mountain Dew.
Put the candy.
He had it in the monitor earlier.
Beatles, right. This thing may be best bang for the buck. If you like M&M peanuts, M&M peanuts biscuit.
No, they're not peanuts.
They're really not peanuts, though. They're not plain M&Ms. It's just in a yellow.
Oh, I thought it was that. That was a peanut.
Threw me
off. It's a color.
It's very,
very distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to them. Mm. And so, did you want to mention cereal? I know it's cereal.
No, I mean, it's National Cereal Day. We did a long show on that a long time ago. And
we got in trouble for that.
I was just thinking, hey, I should put cereal in a bag. Like, Hardy was just eating a chip bag. Get cereal in a chip bag with, like, a Yoo-Hoo or a milk, and you can, like, eat cereal in a car while you're driving. Take a scoop of food.
That's probably not
in the bag.
Recommended?
Yeah, but I'm not a big cereal guy. Never have been. I like a hot breakfast. Never, my parents never pushed a cereal on me.
So as
I know it's easy.
As a kid, you would have, like, eggs or pancakes or something.
Usually do Eggo waffles, yeah, or oatmeal or pancakes, yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
I had cereal every morning as a kid, probably until.
Did your parents allow you
to college?
Did they allow you
the
sugar?
All I had for breakfast.
See, I've never, and one of the big things for me, I don't have a sweet tooth, so I don't have that craving of special. What's the name of the
Special K? Yeah,
not Special K. The one with the tiger.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes, or like
they're great.
Fruity Pebbles.
See, Fruity Pebbles, I just requested a box the other day. You know, you get the, hey, we're going to the store. Do you want anything? I said, I could really go some Fruity Pebbles. And those jerk kids of mine, they start eating them. So now I'm getting to the point now where I'm going to have to hide them. I'm going to have to hoard Fruity Pebbles. And I don't eat them for breakfast. You know what I enjoy them? Afternoon snack. Get home from work about 3:30. Just a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, a little sugar kick, a little fiber, a little almond coconut milk on top. Delightful.
See, I started eating the cereal in college, like because of the training table where we ate.
Yeah,
they had those big vats and of the cereals, and I like the. I started eating the Crunch Berries, but it cut the roof of my mouth.
Stop.
Every time I ate it, I swear to God, it did.
Nice. Dumbest thing.
Ever. Email from Zach. On
like eating glass.
Bert Breer's point earlier today, or the report that Bert had on Toucher and Rich. He says, hi, guys. Why is this a negative story as it relates to what Bert said? So what if the Patriots want a good deal? They have always been cheap. They just spent hundreds of millions of dollars last offseason. If they didn't do that, I would agree that they still have their head up their ass. But what makes you think that they have an edge? Doesn't every team want a good deal? Thanks, Zach and Worcester. Yeah, I feel like you're conflicting some points there, but I think it's negative, and I don't think it's a great development in the sense that the Patriots believe that they have an edge. I don't believe that they have an edge. So I get what he's asking. What makes you think that they think they have an edge? Simply put, the deals that they are offering are unrealistic. That's why the agents are talking about it. That's why I believe that.
Mm.
That they still believe it's...
That they're operating under the same structure. But, let's not forget day one of free agency when Bill went all in on Stephon Gilmore. Let's wait and see here 2 weeks unless they shock everybody. They're just lying there in the grass quietly. And then they just pounce day one because they got a target on someone. Yeah. See, I think JC's going to sign day one. Somebody's going to jump on him. So what's your counter? What are you going to counter with? Again, kills me to sit there and see. You watch the corner market, and there's JC Jackson, Stephon Gilmore listed 1-2, on a lot of people's boards and, top 10 free agent corners. Jesus, you had both those guys.
But I get what he's asking.
Negative none.
Why do we feel like the Patriots feel they've got that edge? They spent all the money last offseason. They obviously weren't feeling that they had an edge last offseason.
Right.
That's not how they spent. So therefore, why do they still think it? Well, this is the perception of those who are agents that are talking to them and talking to a guy that, that we don't even really know much about.
And you also brought guys back, and Matt Patricia and Judge, that operated with that understanding of what they operated with 5-6 years ago, if that's the way they're carrying themselves.
I would also say that they're in a spot now where they have to get the good deal because of their cap situation again.
Oh, boy. Now we're going deal hunting. But how does the Robbie Anderson rumors fit into this, if that's the case? If you're going deal hunting, one, and he's coming in at 15 and 16 the next 2 years. That makes no sense to me. Hey, we're going to trade for a guy, but you're going to take a massive pay cut to go play for the Patriots.
Why would he do that?
What a guy. Yeah. How's that help the player?
Unless he absolutely hates his situation in Carolina. I would, they say the way out of here is you taking a pay cut.
I would sit in Carolina and take my $15 million.
So would I.
I mean, it cost of living in Charlotte's very reasonable.
I don't think many of these guys are concerning themselves with cost of living.
Well, I mean, yeah. I'm going to play better weather down here. I want to come up here and play. I mean, he played in New York. Nothing worse than playing at the MetLife Stadium. And then you have to live in Long Island and drive 8 hours on game day. That's no fun for a player. Miserable. Now he's in Carolina. Making money. Getting paid down there. Now you're going to take less to come here? That doesn't make sense to me. Because I know they're not going to pay him 15, 16. Unless you're getting rid of Aguilar. But there's still cap numbers you need to deal with on that one.
Does Carolina want
Aguilar? It's not just a free, easy swap. Maybe.
For what?
Maybe send him to the Raiders. I don't know. Maybe Josh likes him. Maybe Josh could do something with him that he maybe wasn't allowed to do here. I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's where you're stuck with me. You talk about that position, wide receiver. That's where the Patriots have an issue. Aguilar.
You also get into these drafts where they're loaded with wide receivers and teams just say to themselves, we'll address it through the draft. We're not going to spend big money on wide receivers. We feel like we can go find good ones in the draft. We feel like we could find a first, second, third round pick.
You trust them to do that round one,
too? No, not the Patriots, but the other teams. Yeah. So the other teams say, do we really need Nelson Aguilar, or can we draft a guy in the third round and feel pretty good about it? Yeah. It seems like every other team has not had issues finding receivers in the draft.
Nope.
It's just a Patriots problem at the moment.
Right now, yeah.
Best example of that being N'Keal Harry's, you know.
Now he's still here.
Now almost fourth year.
Well, now it's to the point where it's like so low money in there. Like it's not even worth getting rid of him. And keep hanging on. Maybe it'll pop.
Oof. Yeah. Oh. I don't know about that. I don't think Amari Cooper is going to be really on their radar either.
A lot of money. A lot of money and age, too. I mean, he's getting up there, right?
Yeah, even though there are some people that believe that it would be a really good fit for the Patriots. Lewis Riddick said that on Sunday. He said, I think this has New England Patriots written all over it because they really need someone who has number one wide receiver capability.
It's amazing how many people in the league say that.
That the Patriots lack a number one receiver?
Yeah,
another guy who says
another it. Another guy says it, yeah.
Riddick, another guy looks at the Patriots, looks at Mac
that's
Jones.
That's a Bill guy.
In that situation and says to himself, yeah, they don't have a number one.
That's a Bill
they
guy,
They need
too.
A guy.
Yeah.
Riddick saying the issue with Amari is getting him to do this over 17 games. There are two teams that have said, look, you're good, but you're just not worth the money.
Patriots.
That's like Aguilar. Yeah, you're fine. You're not terrible, but you're just not worth the money. Jonnu Smith, bad signing. Not worth the money. Add one more to it. Do it. But he did say, he goes, for Mac Jones, this would be the perfect kind of weapon. Perfect kind of weapon. I'd be stunned.
Like
can't
that.
Count them out for anything anymore.
That's your first offseason move. Like, you're addressing wide receiver. I can't deal with that right now. Doesn't make sense. You have too many holes on defense.
But it does make sense in the
tackles?
Fact
okay, you got, that
they're not going to fill all the holes.
No, right?
They're not.
They definitely – wide receiver is a need. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, but you have to know what you have in Mac Jones soon?
Yeah, I think they've already made that decision. Like, they know they have the guy.
I don't think that they have settled that
yet. You're not even bringing in a quarterback guy.
Well, you wouldn't do it right now. You would figure it out over the next year or two. They've got to figure that out. They got to know if they have their guy or if they're going to eventually have an issue there too.
Yeah. I mean, built 70, I don't think he's wasting time like that. I think, he's here. He played the 17 games. It looked great to me. We're rolling with him.
I would say that if Bill's getting older, he should want to find out sooner rather than later on what exactly he's got in Mac
Jones.
You
should accelerate that decision.
He might find out that he's got something great and something that will lead a team to the next level, or he's good. He's a good starting quarterback, but not the guy that elevates your team.
Yeah, but with the toughness of the McDaniels comments from a week ago at the combine, the level of intelligence, never seen that in a player. And you've had Brady for how many years? Wow. They might really believe that. And if that's the case in house, then you might be set there for a while. And you can control the money, which is nice for them. Another good deal.
We'll get to today's takeaways coming up next.
Also, I didn't pay Trubisky $10 million, I tell you that. Okay?
Without a doubt. Also, an item on throwbacks for the Patriots. Mention that in takeaways. Whoa. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zillack and Bertrand.
This is a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zillack and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. We have breaking news. According to Adam Schefter, Patriots have released linebacker Kyle Van Noy, and he is crediting Phil Yates with the original report.
Yeah, Yates' tweet says, a decision with salary cap roots, as moving on from the versatile Van Noy creates just under $5 million in cap space. Van Noy can sign with another team right away. The thing I would bring up here, Zoe, is the timing of this. I don't know if there's any money due to him after the start of the new league year. I'd have to take a look, but my initial thought is they just cleared $5 million in space for what?
Bingo. Like I said, they've got something up their sleeve, I hope, day one of free agency at 9 a.m. in the morning when it breaks, and they're going after someone. Hopefully from the defensive side of the football.
Here's what my other reaction would be. Just because Kyle Van Noy was cut may not spell the end of the time here for Kyle Van Noy.
Correct.
May not.
Correct. It could be a salary thing. The guy knows the system. He likes the role here. I heard him talk about it last week where...
This literally just happened within the last 20 seconds.
Yep.
So I've had no time to look at this deal and know...
Right. But it's also recognizing we need to get faster and younger on the edge.
I would agree with that, but...
It's the beginning of the revamping of the linebacker position to me.
Do you have the replacements? That would be my...
You look at this, you say, oh, this is good for a guy like Chase Winovich or Josh Uche? I don't know. Or is it for somebody else they're looking to bring in or change something with their front?
It looks like the dead cap is going to be $2.5 million, which means I don't think he's coming back. I got to figure this all out. But
yeah, we'll have more on this tomorrow, too.
Yeah, look. Let us go through all this math and figure. I don't know if there was any dead bonuses due. Or it looks like a cap-clearing move here, but for what? What do they got coming? Why today?
I don't know.
Why on March 7th did they need to do this?
Mike Reese here with the analysis. Kyle Van Noy's release is a case of economics primarily driving the decision. Van Noy obviously had 66 tackles, blah, 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 blah. Cap savings nearly doubles the Patriots' total space.
Yeah, and so that's the way this is phrased. Both Mike Reese and Field Yates, two guys that are economics. Very tapped in, making sure to point out that it was economics and just a cap thing that leads me to believe that maybe that's that part that creeps back in, maybe he's not actually done here. Maybe it's about clearing space for the time being, and we'll figure you out again later on.
All right.
Right. I mean, why is that such a prominent part of this? Why couldn't it just be that he's getting older and they want to get younger and faster?
Yep.
These guys are going out of their way to point out that it's economics and it's cap stuff. Sorry.
Speaking of economics, today's takeaways and that right there with the breaking news brought to you by Waken 180, shoveling snow, walking upstairs, keeping up with your kids, or just everything that you do daily. All easier after losing the weight. Do it with the help of Waken 180 Weight Loss.
And so that is that. Felger and Mazur coming your way next on a re-entry Monday. You want to hear it? Have a great afternoon.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Dynamic duo.
I'm a borderline moron.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
You are freaking Pork City.
Felger and Mass. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And back to Tatum. Step to his right. Launches a three. Got it. Wow. Tie game.
Kyrie couldn't get over that pick, man. That was a good seal there by Daniel Tice.
There comes Tatum up the middle of the floor. He's got room to work, so he pulls up, shoots the long jumper, and drills another three. Wow.
Defense never got out there to challenge.
Tatum against Durant. Nasty step back. Three in the air. Crowd will tell you.
I'm your peer. I'm your peer. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your little buddy.
Tatum steps to his left and enters it and gets it back from Rob Williams. Ooh. He is wide open, sets himself up in the corner, and knocks down another three.
Kyrie went for the first pump fake.
Tatum dribbling between his legs. Kyrie in front of him. Pull up another three. Seventh of the day.
Whose damn house is this, man? It's my house.
Tatum, right hand, left hand, going to attack the right side, spins through two men, blows by Kyrie, lays it up and in, and Tatum has 41, and the Celtics have the lead. Jaylen Brown on the wing. Tatum's got Seth Curry on him. Now the ball comes to Tatum. Tatum pulls up at 14 feet. Jumper, got it. 51 for Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum stepping to the forefront, pumping up the crowd, embracing Ime Udoka and Jaylen Brown. He's got 51, and the Boston lead is 5 with 72 seconds to play.
What a shiny moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.